10 years ago, and they have a 15 years difference. The sister is 15 years older than the brother. They got in love, they got married last year, and they are going to have their own baby this coming July. So, if you think you have sacrificed for God, God has something in store for you that you don't know. So this is the brother, and this is the sister, and they got married. I know you are all young people. You don't all want to find your own partner. So there are more stories like that coming. So our next story is about some married. In China, when you become a Christian, you have a difficulty telling your family members that you are disciples. But there's a brother also in Xi'an. His name is Ken. In 2007, he was converted and he started sharing with his family. Of course, his family didn't receive it that well. So the next year, his sister-in-law, that's his elder brother's wife, got pregnant. And it was a snowstorm at that time when Will is about to for delivery. So they were standing on the road trying to get a car. His mom at that time prayed to the God that she didn't know. He said, God, I don't know you, but because of my son, can you find me a car so that my daughter-in-law can go to the hospital? So right after the prayer, a car show up that take the daughter-in-law to the hospital, and they have a healthy baby. So after another 6 years, his brother moved to Xi'an to help, because of job situation, moved to Xi'an. So his brother studied the Bible with the disciples in Xi'an. He confessed his sin, mend his relationship with his wife, and was baptized. And his wife, because of the changes of his husband, also start to be interested in studying the Bible, and she was also baptized.
Wow.
So that's why, even with the persecution, so their family, two brothers, and two other beautiful wives, are now all in our spiritual family. And here comes the one-year challenge part. Have you heard of one-year challenge?
Yeah.
So, have you thought about going to China for one-year challenge?
Yeah.
On the right side is Steve. He's from the States. He has been in the States working as full-time. But somehow it didn't work out. So he told himself that he need to take a big step of faith. So he take up the one-year challenge and moved to Guangzhou, a big city in China. And when he was there, another local sister got baptized called Connie. So they met in Guangzhou church. So Steve keep growing spiritually, and he make a courageous decision to go to another city in Guangdong province to start a new church. And Connie was the first local disciple at that time willing to join the mission team. So after 1 year, they started the mission team, they go steady, and was married. You can tell, this is traditional Chinese wedding dress. And the next one, they have Western wedding dress as well. Can tell that coming to China, you may find your partner for life. Success rate is very high, I can tell you. Not just with so many people in China. How can we reach out to these people? I will let another brother from Sichuan province, because his city is Chengdu, the province of Panda. If you don't remember, it's Panda province. He will share about the conversion of our great sister in Sichuan.
Hello, everybody. As you guys know, China is now the engine behind the world's economic growth. So, but Bible also told us the. Bible also said it's harder for camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for rich man to enter a kingdom. Yeah. Do you agree? Do you agree with that? Yeah. But it is difficult, but not impossible. We also have many talented disciples who are very successful in the world, but at the same time are able to glorify God with what has been given to them. Yan Jie is among the first batch of college graduates after China's reform and development. She became the owner of a very established construction company in China. And her company was involved and responsible for the interior designs of the world's biggest building. Wow. Next one. Wow. That's it. The Century Global Center in Chengdu. Wow. The mall is twice the size of both the previous mall record holder in Dubai and the biggest mall in Guangdong.
Wow.
Next one. Yeah. There is even an indoor beach in the mall that is 1 kilometer long, just like Bali. Okay. Despite all her impressive accomplishments, she never thought she did any. She did any of what that with her own abilities. Yeah, 1 kilometer. But give all the credit to God after getting baptized. What she always shared with people, if the first Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, the greatest of all this is love. Success is never her stumbling block. Next one.
Yan Jie.
Okay. Her humble character and honorable abilities towards others are so evident that she was able to help study the Bible and baptize the two women from different age groups in just 2 years' time.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Both of them come from rural families, very different from her, who are illiterate. That sister and that sister, yeah. One of them is a brass mom, Hai Ma, and the other is a maid who once worked in a couple's home. Get Ayi, Xie Ayi. So Yan Jie is using her life as a testimonial of her firm belief. The greatest of all this is love. Thank you.
I want to share the last story. We are going to show you a video afterwards because the story was it's become a TV show interview our brother in Guangzhou. The story moved me a lot because it tells you a lot how precious blood is. In China, the economy even though it's very uprising, but for many areas, it's still very poor, especially in some of the provinces like Hunan. So several years ago, there is an AIDS village in Hunan. All the villagers, they sell their blood for like $50 RMB in order to make their living better. But they don't have clean needles. That's why all the people eventually contact AIDS out of that. And this is the brother, both of his parents have AIDS after selling their blood. And they both died like when he is in college. So that's why he was like one of the orphans of AIDS village. And I moved there because I feel like God has really, like Psalm 68 verse 6, is he set the lonely with families. He bring back a spiritual family for him. And with the strength that he has, now he offered to give some work to the villagers so that they can make money without doing stuff like selling your blood. So this is the, I will end our stories with this video. You can see the video right now.我大概七八岁的时候，当时是我妈妈带我去的，我妈妈是农事业的，大概50块钱左右。那个时候50块钱在农村相当于一个月的生活费了，就一个家庭可能一个月才花50块钱。2003年，炎症上咗初中，村入边嘅人开始陆续出现咗异样，但大家都唔知道，嗰个就系艾滋病。去医院花了很多钱，然后也治不好。村入边埋个血嘅村民陆续死去，经过卫生站嘅统一检测，噩耗就系传嚟咗。2003年、2004年，严少嘅父亲同母亲相继查出感染咗艾滋病。嗰阵时，黄严超正上初中2年级，就想就很担心自己回家以后就不在或怎么样。听讲感染咗艾滋病，亲戚同严超一家断绝咗来往，而父母挂喺嘴边最多嘅。就是对不住，对，他也一直会说，就说，就是对不起啊，怎么怎么样，对。尽管心里边好难受，但严超并未因为艾滋病而灰心丧气，反而加倍努力。最终佢考上咗大学。2010年，黄严超喺湖滨上大三嘅时候，母亲发病去世。很遗憾，然后就。没有见到，对，有很多人比你承受的还多，对，你自己承受的这一些，其实不应该是再有压力。好住，我要强大的信念，从黑暗到光明，从恐惧到坦然。黄炎照实现咗人生当中最重要的一次人生转换。为了帮助更多的艾滋遗孤，毕业之后，严超加入了自行。后来，严超萌发了个想法，他希望可以为家乡受艾滋病影响的妇女带来一点的帮助。那我们在农村里面建小型的工厂，请当地的感染的妇女来工作，让她在附近就能够找到工作，然后又可以在晚上啊、周末啊可以陪孩子这样的。2013年，严超发起了农村社会企业海星工作坊。
减，严超工作于自行基金会下属嘅自爱社会企业，创造更多种类嘅工作机会。通过佢多年嘅努力，已经帮村入边至少八名感染艾滋病嘅妇女创造咗第二次生命，同时亦都为更多嘅艾滋遗孤带去咗新嘅希望。
啲小孩画得就是特别好一些啦，我想走遍世界啊，各个方面的对。
经历风霜先至会成长，呢、这个道理喺黄艳超身上彰显得淋漓尽致。直到此时此刻，佢都会始终提醒自己，勿忘初心。温博对艾滋遗孤的关怀。
I would like to give the time to the next brother from he will introduce himself.
Assalamu alaikum. I hope you understand that I'm from Pakistan. I definitely bring greetings from the churches in Pakistan. You know, all the disciples are definitely grateful for all your prayers and for all the support that you all give to the disciples. You know, Pakistan is very famous in the whole world. Not because of sports, not because of some other activities, but some different activities happening in Pakistan, and that is terrorism. I believe that when I was thinking about I will fear no more, so I thought that the disciples in Pakistan have really gone beyond that feeling that they will fear no more. Right now in Pakistan, we have four churches. We have four churches, over 325 disciples. We have church in Lahore, Islamabad, Peshawar, and Karachi. You know what, the situation in Pakistan right now, I think the fear, when we talk about fear, it feels like fear is the biggest enemy of our faith. When we fear, we cannot do anything for God. But in Pakistan, every disciple, majority of the population is Muslim. They're about 95%. And others and Christians are only 5%. The law is definitely, supporting the majority. And it's not giving much freedom to the other nations to practice their faith. From last 3 years, continuously Christians have been attacked for their faith, for being Christian. This is a recent blast which happened in Lahore, on the Easter, after the Easter service. A lot of Christians, they got together in a park, and they were there with their families, with their children. And two of the suicide bombers came and they blew themselves up among all those people who were there with the families. And it was owned by one of the religious regime that it was planted, and it was planted to attack Christians. This is the story. You can see, the picture is not very clear, but you can see in this attack 70 people got killed. It's all small children from age 5 to age 11 and 15 and others, and 340 got injured. These are all the government numbers which the government gave. This is not, you can't say that these are real, because there were more than 1,000 people there. when these two blasts happened. This is one of the sisters in the church. Her name is Zari. She lost her 4 family members in that blast. Her 2 nephews, who were just 15 years old, and her sister and her sister-in-law, all 4 were killed in that blast. There was another brother whose nephew and his friends, 4 of his friends, they first time got out of their house and they didn't tell the family, and they said that they are going to the park. To their friends, they just told. They didn't tell the family. But first time they went out, they were all 15, 16 years old, and they all came back with their parts of body missing. Since then, the churches and the Christian community is now trying to protect themselves. Since those blasts and the attacks were happening in the churches and the Christians were being attacked, we went to the police and we asked the police that you should give us the protection, you should give us some police that they can protect us. You know what, instead of giving us the protection, they gave us a letter and they said that you should have your own armed guards and metal detectors, and you should have your own security. We can't provide you the security. This is the police, they said. So now we have these people. We have, this is our friend. He's not a Christian yet. He's studying, he would be studying the Bible soon and he would become a disciple. This is one of the, this is actually a movie, but it's not playing here.
I can play.
Oh, you can play. This is small. This is how they come to the meeting. You know, they have metal detectors and they check every person who comes to the meeting before they enter the hall. So this is how we have to, you know, have our own security. We have, you know, guards with guns. We have to have 5 guards with guns. We have to have metal detectors and at least 5 to 7 people who are protecting the street, that if anyone comes, you know, we have to have 3 layers. One will observe, the other will, you know, detect, and the last one would be the person who will fire at, you know, if the terrorist or anyone comes to the church. You know, this is all happening, but church never stops meeting. You know? The church in Pakistan, as I told you, the fear is the biggest enemy of faith. You know, last year, when we were preaching in this hall, I was preaching a lesson, and I was about to finish my lesson. I was like in the closing lines, and we heard some noise about 100 meters away from the church hall, and people got little scared, and then in a few seconds, there was another noise. So somebody really went out, and the brothers went out, and they ran towards the noise, and they found that there were 2 blasts in 2 churches. And a lot of people died, and they saw that everyone was lying on the ground and parts of body here and there in the streets. And the brothers came back, and we got together all the disciples because they were about to, you know, go out of the hall, but they, you know, there were like people firing on the streets. And it was just 100 meters away from the church. And we had all the disciples got together and we said, okay, we'll stop meeting for next, ruling from the government. But after 3 months, when we were meeting in the houses and we were so, I mean, scared. But after 3 months, you know, all the disciples and the brothers and the sisters, they got together and they said, you know what? We can't let fear overcome us. They said, you know, that's in the church is better than in a market or park. Wow. You know, they said, we will fear no more. Whether we have security or whether we don't have security, we are going to meet in the church. If anyone has to come, they can come and they can kill us. Then we continue our meetings, and the church, you know, continue to grow and meet. And after that incident, last in the month of March, we had a church service, and we had over 500 people at the church service. Yeah. You know, disciples, they love to fellowship. You know, they never want to go home. Whenever they come to the church, you know, after the church, you know, they have nowhere to go. They would always want to sit there and chat and really meet each other. And the church, you know, with the fellowship and with the convictions, the church always grow. And this is one of the sister, she's a teen sister from the teens ministry. She got baptized in month of February, and that is our brother Kashif. He got baptized in the month of March, and we just had another baptism just 2 weeks ago. And the church is never stopped, even though a lot of fear and a lot of things are happening, but the church never stopped. This is our KKC, not very well organized and managed. We don't have a proper room for the KKC. Now these children are sitting under, like, the temperature is about 45 and 44, but these children are there. They still want to be there and still want to come to the church. And I appreciate all the parents, who bring their children to the church. They themselves don't fear, but also they make their children like this, that they will also not fear, that nothing will happen. We have to go to the church. This is our commitment. This is our faith. We need to be with our God. This is this is these are our KKC children, and definitely God is blessing us, and God is really giving us faith and courage. And I'm thankful for all the disciples that have been praying and who've been supporting us with their faith and with their encouragement. And I would really encourage all of you that whoever wants to go to the mission team, I think you need to learn one thing, that fear will never let you do God's work. Fear will always stop you. People will always be there who will oppose you. Government or the situations will always be there who will stop you from doing what God wants you to do. But I think if you have the faith and if you have the courage and if you believe in God, you will definitely do beyond your imagination and beyond your thinking. And God will definitely bless you. Amen.
Morning, everyone. It's a big honor for me to talk about the mission team. I believe that in this room, many heroes in the mission team. And many of you in the mission team to go to many countries. And many of you is young generation. So listening for the China, the Hong Kong China, and the Pakistan, I feel fear. How about you? I don't know. But I share what we do the mission team in Vietnam, and hopefully you feel joyful. I won't scare you. How many of you in this room think that you want one time in life attending and joining the mission team? Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you very much. In Vietnam, everyone wants to join the mission team. Sincerely. we are in the mission team. No choice. Even we are staying in the city, going nowhere, we still on the mission team. So everyone set up in their schedule, in a calendar. Wednesday and Thursday is the day for Israelites. That means you just take from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. just only for the evangelists. So you do whatever you do, the family, spend time, anything, including share your faith, including bring friends in your house, including meet someone you just met, including study Bible, everything in that 2 days of the week, just for sharing your faith. So you are in the mission team. And we send the mission team to Da Nang, the first mission team to Da Nang, last 12 years. And I can say it's not success. Why? Because we know nothing about mission field. We captured the American way to send a mission team. But after 3 years, we bring all the team back and we learn how to do the mission team can bring the success. And you want to hear that?
Yes!
Oh, great.
Number one, we will send a mission team when we mature enough. Because if we cannot mature, how can we get a baby? So mission team like a baby, at a family. When we adult, when we get married, and when we take care of our marriage, then another time, we have a children. Is it right?
Yeah.
If you cannot take care of your family, how can you send a mission team? That's the number one lesson we learned. We don't send a mission team if we cannot afford our relationship or afford to the church healthy. So when the church, so in Vietnam, when the church go into 100, that means you can send a mission team. 100 to 150, that means you can send a mission team. Secondly, we send a mission team by a team. We not send the just one or two people. I understand it's different in any country. So I don't mean that if you send just one or two, it's wrong. No, I don't mean that. But I'm just sharing the way we do in Vietnam. Why? Because we need a family. We need the family to go together. So we need to choose from 14 to 16. Why we choose the number 14, 16 in the team? Because we need three couple at least. Three couple, and they help each other in spiritual, and they can be friends together. And we need single. We need, if 16, we need five single brother, five single sister. So that's a really balanced. And five single brother, we form the brother house in the new city. Single sister, we form the sister household in that city. So we make decision to stay everyone close to each other. That means 5 minutes, if I send a message, 5 minutes, everyone can come. So we build the atmosphere really close together. So this is that we learn. How we choose a mission team? Because everyone wants to go to the mission team. So I prepare the mission team 2 years. We choose the city. We choose according with the population and economic of the country. So we choose, for example, where is the richest city? So we send first. Because according to economic, that means it's open. So we choose that city. And we draw in the map, where is the number one, number two, number three? So we have a dream about that. Then we make announcement 2 years. So next 2 years, we will send the mission team on that city. Who willing to go? Who think that who really interesting to go to that city? Please meet together after the service, church service, right away in the room like this. And when we do this for Da Nang, I want to interview of you, the leader of the mission team we just sent last week in this room now. He's in the corner. He's high. He's in the, and his wife. On the mission team now, so he's with me today. He's the person better than me to talk about this topic in this way. But, so the church coming. So I appreciate the whole church coming on that meeting. That means they want to know, they want to listening about the mission team. And after that I say, no, I don't want all of you go to mission team. I just want the one who really think that they will go.
Yeah.
So let meet next month together. Who really want to go? And you know, the next month at the meeting, 60% people show up. That means 60% people want to go. So no, too much. I cannot send 60% go to mission team. I just need 100%. So write down, all of you write down for me, you 50% or just think about, or 100%. I just accept 100% want to go to mission team. Write down now and give to me. And the next meeting, half of the church want to go to mission team. So I appreciate it a lot, because in the beginning, everyone, mission team is our life. The one they cannot ready to go because they just have a baby, they just have anything, just set up something. But everyone want to go to mission team. Then we do, next thing is interview. Because we have half of the church want to go, so how can we choose? So we do the interview. What interview mean? They need to convince the staff that choose me. I will be the best in the group, so choose me. So they queue up to interview. And we need 2 days, two Saturdays for half of the church interview. So we interview, can you find a job over there? If you can have a job, that's a good sign. Are you the people effective to bring friends and study Bible friend? Yes, that's number two. Are you have a good financial? That means if you have a struggle with the job, you're still alive after a few months. Something like that. Are you good relationship with the teammate? You're good, yeah. So interview, then the team we choose. So we form 40 or 60 in the mission team. Because I believe that the team must be really together, healthy. The goal is not just going there and die. The goal is going there and make a light for the world. So we build the really teammate family in that city. So the first month, the first 6 months go to the mission team, we do nothing. We just discover the city. We just build up the friendship, the relationship in the team. We go around the city to pray. Go in each street to pray. And go to each shop to eat. Go to each corner to take a picture for the memory, for the build up the really relationship. And the next 6 months, then we start the first campaign. So we did it in Hanoi. And it's really success. Hanoi, now we have 47 disciples. After 7 years. Maybe it's not impress you, 47 disciples. But you remember, Vietnam is an underground church. So 47 is a big number. And after Hanoi, we send another mission to Cantor. Cantor, they doubled the church after 2 years. Wow. And just last week, we sent a team to Da Nang and Hai leading the team there. And we have no fear because before we fell in Da Nang. But now we go back because we know how to be together. For better or worse, we are all together. So we will answer more in the Q&A question. But that's the way we really interesting and really enjoy to join the mission team. I invite you, if you have time, take vacation to visit Vietnam. You can ask anyone in the church and they can share the experience in the mission team. Even they go on the team or not, they can share to you how they felt 3 times interview. And you can learn a lot of things in the mission team in every disciple in Vietnam. Thank you very much.
Amen. My name is So Kun. I'm from Bangkok, Thailand. And we're so excited to be here. Thank you for organizing this awesome conference here. And Thailand is a country opposite of Pakistan and Indonesia, where you have mostly Muslim and so radical, and we're so inspired by your faith. And I mean, just hearing what the disciples in Pakistan did is just amazing. Yeah. Right? I'm so moved by the disciples in Pakistan. Amen. But Thailand is the opposite. We are a Buddhist country, and Buddhist country have, as you know, has a middle path teaching. Everything is okay as long as you like it. Jesus is awesome, Buddha is great, Confucius is okay, Muhammad is God, even though, you know, any, they worship Hindu, they have Hindu temples, they go to Hindu temples. It's just the opposite of the struggle that the, you know, radical Muslims are. They're just, everything's okay. So to help Thai people become Christian and stay faithful is a challenging situation. And believe it or not, we have over 1,000 baptisms in Thailand over the years, but we only have 100 something disciples left. So it's very hard, challenging challenges to really build strong faith in a Buddhist country like Thailand. But anyway, God still worked in people's heart, people's life. And as we know, throughout the years, we have, in Thailand church, we go through some struggles, a lot of storm. And the past 10 years, we really struggle as a church, and we actually have a declining growth. And 2 years ago, about 3 years ago, no, 4 years ago, Jim and Marlin Hess, some of you may know, they came to Thailand, they worked there, and they also helped lead the church in Thailand as a volunteer basis, self-support, leading the church and also working there. And they're also trying to hook us up in Thailand to get with the C region. So we joined the C region Thailand church, and we're thankful for that. And we get a lot of spiritual mentoring, spiritual resources, I Choose Us, GEP, spiritual talk, and really, and God really blessed that and helped the church in Thailand to start growing again. Amen. And you know, I don't share the scripture, and now we don't have any full-time minister in the church because I'm leading the church and I'm working as a businessman, a full-time job. Amen. But I want to share one scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 to 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 to 9. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will be, well, each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. We are God's field and God's building. Amen. You know, who are we? You know, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? They are just servants, and that's who we are. Whether you're a leader in a full-time ministry or not, we are all have the same roles and responsibility as a disciple. We are all servants of God. Servants, but we're, in fact, God put us as co-workers with God. We are partnering with God as a disciple, serving God, doing our part. We all water and plant. We plant and water, and God is the one make things grow. So we are just doing our part. And then, you know, it's amazing, some of the conversions recently in Bangkok is exactly showing what this scripture is all about. You know, we have a couple from they're a couple from Thailand but Indonesian origin, and they live in Thailand for like 35 years, And because of the family, the wife's parents, mother was ill, so they moved back to Jakarta. And the brother and sister in Jakarta reached out to them, shared their faith with them. So they planted the seed, watered them, shared the scripture, bring them to church. At first, only the wife came and the husband did not come. But eventually the husband started to open up. But they were not that open and not that ready to become Christian yet in Indonesia. So they moved back to Bangkok during that time. And of course, during the time they studied the Bible, they loved the church. They called they asked his son, who is in Thailand in a university, come to church, and he came to church and studied the Bible and became Christian there. So it's planted here, watered here, and we just reap the food. And God is the one who makes things grow. When they go back to Thailand, we also studied Bible then. We continue to water, we continue to plant the seeds and water the seeds, and God makes them grow and move their heart. And because of his illness, he was more urgent to become Christian. And then because of that illness he has, God opened his heart, and God makes his heart grow to grow in his faith, and he decided to become Christian in Thailand. So 2 weeks ago, the couple got baptized in Bangkok as well. But this is the amazing thing, that we all work together, whether it's Indonesian brother and sister reach out to them, planted the seed, water, and we continue to plant and water, and God makes them become Christian. Amen? So, amen. We also have another brother became Christian in Bangkok. Also, some brother sisters evangelized them in another country, in China. Amen. Actually, he was on a vacation to China and meeting some friend, and a disciple invited them to the Guangzhou church. And he was so impressed with the church, he came back to Thailand and searched us in Bangkok to say, where is the church? So somebody in Guangzhou planted the seed, invited them without knowing how open he is. And when he came back to Thailand, he said, wow, the church is so amazing. I never met anybody so friendly in my life. The first time I met them, they treat me like we're friends, 10-year-old friends, you know. It's just strangers, you know. And he studied the Bible in Bangkok, and we continue to water. We continue to plant the seed and water, and God makes his faith grow. And he was baptized a few weeks ago. Wow. Amen. Thank you. We have another story from Pakistan.
Wow. Yeah.
There's a guy in Pakistan. They also, because of the persecution, as you see there, they were persecuted because of their faith. He was not in part of our movement. He was in a Catholic church, but he was very active in trying to help the Christian and Muslim building bridges together, to be friend and to work together. So one of his best friend is a Muslim, so he's trying to build a bridge between Christian and Muslim. But unfortunately, his friend backstabbed him, claimed that he's blasphemy God. So he has to escape Pakistan. Because when in Pakistan, when you're accused of blasphemy, they have the right to kill you without any fault. So they left Pakistan to Bangkok as a refugee. And you know, one brother shared the faith with another person, and they also invited them to our church, and he came to church for a while. And we studied Bible with him, and again, you know, God planted a seed, even with his faith anywhere. I mean, and his faith grew, and we studied the Bible with him. And this amazing thing, when we studied Bible with him, is that, you know, he sacrificed his life for Christ, right? He's escaping his life and bringing his wife and a pregnant wife and gave birth as a refugee in Bangkok to escape persecution, escape death. And he thought that, wow, he's so committed Christian, because he really risked his life and his family's life for Jesus. So as we study the Bible, it dawned on him that he is not a true disciple of Jesus. He could not believe it. All the sacrifices I have done, all the good deeds I have done for Jesus, and I'm not safe. And he has a hard time to grasp, understanding that we do not deserve, no matter how much good deeds we do for Jesus, we do not deserve to be saved, because the wages of sin is death. right? And the gift of God is eternal life. We have to take some time to plant the seed, water him, and God make his heart grow to see that we are only saved by the grace of God only, not by our good deeds. When it comes to his senses, it's like, I need to get baptized. I'm not saved, I'm not right with God because I get persecuted and I risk my life. Before he thought that he's so religious, it's like, I've done all this for Jesus, I deserve to go to heaven. But when he sees the real cross, he realized that his salvation is only because of the grace of Jesus, not because of his good deed. And so he was baptized in Christ in Bangkok from Pakistan. So, amen. What I'm sharing is that, you know, we're all the same. No matter who you are, where you are, we're nothing. We're just servants of Christ, doing our part. You don't know who you invite to church. You don't know who you share the faith, whether they're open or not. Eventually, the time will tell. All this conversion are from abroad coming. People, someone else plant, someone else water, but God's will grow. But when it came to Bangkok, we continue to water and we continue to plant the seeds, and then God makes them grow and God bring the fruit, and to God be the glory. Amen.
Hey, you guys like to watch movies?
Yes!
You have any action heroes? Like Captain America, Iron Man? These are the action heroes nowadays. For my time, my action heroes is Indiana Jones. Have you guys heard of that? At that time, I thought, wow, it would be so cool. You have to have so many adventures. And then go back and you become a professor in the classroom. So at that time is my dream that I want to live a life with adventures. And today I'm very happy because I can teach, share a class with Sukun. Sukun. Right here. We know each other for 30 years now.
Wow.
Like he is one of the original Hong Kong team mission team member. So next year we are going to celebrate Hong Kong Chess 30 years anniversary. So today China has over 3,600 disciples. He's part of the contribution right here. So I just want to tell you that our heart will never grow old. It's almost like 30 years. Back then, we go on a mission team and we started the church. I'm also one of the original mission team. We started the church in Hong Kong. But now, still, we are sharing a lot of stories about adventures. So I want you write your own story. And one day you can share to your children, share to your friends, how God really helped you to make your dream fulfilled. So, I know it's still half an hour left in my time schedule. I don't know what to do with this half hour. So, okay. Anyone want to ask them any questions? Like, maybe not, right? So I think we have an early break. You have half an hour given to you. Make good use of that. Thank you.